We're going to talk a little bit about his steadfast love this morning. His hesed love. Please turn with me in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 3. We're just going to look at four verses this morning. Verses 1 through 4 of Proverbs chapter 3. You know, there's a place where we can go to find absolute truth. And God's word is faithful and true. That you can build your life for an eternity upon God's faithful, inerrant, and infallible word. And this is God's word for us this morning in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 4. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. That's as far as we'll read. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we think on these verses this morning. Lord God, we do thank you for your word. We pray that you would give us ears to listen, that our hearts might be teachable, that your Holy Spirit would work a good work even in our hearts this morning. Show us yourself through your word, that we might worship you. Accomplish your good work even this morning in our hearts through your gospel. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever forgot something? Anybody? I got a hand? Nobody ever forgot anything? Nice. Oh, we got one. That was very brave of her, by the way, to raise her hand like that. Somebody so honest to say, yes, I have. I've forgotten something before. We forget things all the time, do we not? Maybe it's your keys. Maybe it's an assignment. Maybe it's a meeting at work. Hopefully it's not an anniversary if you're married. We forget things, do we not? It's a natural thing for us to do, to just space out almost and forget what we should remember. There was a contractor, a good contractor, who was building a beautiful home, and he remembered everything to build this home. He purchased all the materials. He had a skilled crew. He had all the tools that he needed to build this beautiful home, and he was set. But he forgot one thing. The blueprints for the house slipped his mind. He remembered everything else, but the blueprints were somewhere else he couldn't find. Kind of hard to build a house as a contractor without blueprints, don't you think? And yet, if you and I try to build our life with everything that we have, our skill, our knowledge, our tools, but forget God's blueprint of his word of wisdom, you're building without blueprints. God's wisdom will help you navigate the challenges and difficulties of this life. You might think, man, life is hard. I got so much going on. Well, God's wisdom will help you. Maybe you're grieving, maybe you're in pain, maybe something's happened that is overwhelming for you. God's wisdom will help you navigate that. The theme of our text this morning is remembering God's wisdom. We're going to look at three aspects of that theme. First, it's memorable teaching. Secondly, it's compelling love. And third, it's good life. It's good life. Well, the first thing, it's memorable teaching. The teaching of God's wisdom is memorable, is it not? Look with me at verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. Don't forget. Store them into your very heart of hearts. Put it in there. Don't forget my teaching. The wisdom of God and his teaching comes to you and me to show us himself, who he is, in all his holiness and glory and love and mercy and grace. But he also, that wisdom shows who you are. When you look at his commandments, when you look at his teachings, you see yourself, you see your sin. You see how you've grieved your Creator. And he calls you and me to bring it into our hearts. But let your heart keep my commandments. How do you get God's teaching and his commands into your heart? Well, that's a good question. Well, first of all, the Holy Spirit has to help. But one of the best ways I've learned to hide God's word in my heart, that I might not sin against him, is memorization. Now, the older I get, it's harder. It was easier when I was young. Nonetheless, when you memorize God's word, you prepare yourself for whatever might come. For some reason, it makes me think of those prisoners of war as they were stuck for years in these prison cells. It's what they memorized that kept them going, many of them. Hiding God's word in your heart. When you memorize God's word, you bring into your heart his wisdom. I think of Jesus when he was tempted. What was his response? God's word. He had memorized God's word and he was ready to stand up against the temptation with the very words of God that he had memorized, that he had had in his heart. Sometimes I feel like I forget more than I remember. Maybe you feel that way sometimes too. I don't know. It could be just me. But don't forget God's teaching and his commands. For they are what gives you life itself. His commands and his teachings show you so much. This week, my brother showed me this article of this former pastor. It was so sad. And this article went on and on as he had taken hold of this New Age heresy that everything that you need in life is found within you. There's no guilt. There's no fear of God, only what's in you. And there's no sin, evidently, either. Obviously, this is very unbiblical and heretical. God's commands show you your sin. They show you your need for a Savior. And they lead you straight to the cross. Straight to Christ Himself. Because He's the only one that can help you overcome your sin, that can forgive your sin, to give you hope for this world and the next. When I was thinking about not forgetting, one of the passages that came to my mind for some reason immediately was, and I'm sure this is same for you too, Deuteronomy 8, right? Oh, no takers on that? Okay. Yeah, Deuteronomy 8. After Moses, of course, it's the last book of the Pentateuch, and he gives the Ten Commandments again in chapter 5, but then in chapter 8, as they're heading into the Promised Land, he gives this, the whole chapter pretty much, this big spiel of don't forget. When you find yourself in the good land that I promised you, don't forget who brought you into that land. When you find yourself fat and happy with vines and things that you haven't planted, with fruit that you didn't plant, don't forget who brought you there. Deuteronomy 8. Let me read a couple verses from this. Verse 12. Lest when you have eaten and are full, have built good houses and live in them, when your herds and flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all around you what you have is multiplied, then your heart will be lifted up and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of slavery. He goes on to say, verse 17, beware lest you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gotten me this wealth. You shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the power to get wealth, that He may confirm His covenant that He swore to your fathers, as it is this day. And if you forget the Lord your God and go after other gods and serve and worship them, I solemnly warn you today that you shall surely perish. Don't forget. When God has blessed you, when you're full, I just said this yesterday to my son. Before we ate, we kind of ate at different times at the table. And every time he eats, he says a little grace. Thank you, Lord, for the food. And he knows where it came from. I told him how proud I was of him, that he prays. He knows where it came from. Don't forget. Don't forget what God has given you. It's second point, remembering God's wisdom. It's compelling love. The love of God's wisdom is compelling, is it not? Look with me. Verse 3. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Steadfast love and faithfulness. It's that chesed love, that covenantal love that God has for His people. I think back to the beginning with Adam, the covenant that God made with him. One will come who will crush the serpent's head. Think of Abraham, Abrahamic covenant, right? I will give you as many descendants as the stars in the sky and the sands of the seashore. Mosaic covenant. Moses, do this. Keep my commandments and you will live. And then the Davidic covenant, where he promises David that I will give you an everlasting kingdom from your seed. All of these covenants come to you and me. We find ourselves part of that covenant by faith. We are God's people. You are God's people, grafted in, adopted. God's very holy people. His covenant love, do not forsake. Verse 3, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. There's a two-edged sword to that covenantal love. There's blessing on one hand, but there's also curses, is there not? And that covenantal love will come either in blessing or in curse for you and for me. It redeems or it condemns. God's love and faithfulness will, it's the most amazing thing in a Christian's life to see that he is faithful to me even when I am not faithful to him. How compelling is that? Filling your heart, clearly being seen by all who see you. You see what it does? Bind them around your neck. Well, what do you do when you put something around your neck, right? Maybe you put a tie. I choose not to, but some people do that. Or a necklace. It's something for people to see, right? His steadfast love and faithfulness in your life is clearly seen by everyone who sees you. If you have his love in you, they can see it. By everything you do and what you say, they can see Jesus or not see Jesus in you. God's covenantal love is clearly seen ultimately in Christ himself, redeeming us and condemning him on the cross. That's love. And the love of God is greater, far greater, than any sin in your life. And God's love shines through Christ himself. And that is the hope for all of us. Don't trust in our own righteousness, but in his and his alone. Wherever you go, people see God's love and faithfulness written on your heart. That hesed love, that covenantal love that he has shown forth through Christ himself. Compelling love. That was the second point. The third point is it's good life. It's good life. Did you see in verse 2 and verse 4? Let me read those again. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And verse 4. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. The good life. Sounds pretty good, doesn't it? Length of days, years of life, peace, favor, success, shalom, a life full of peace, good success. It makes me think for some reason of Joseph. You remember in the Old Testament, Joseph? Wherever he went, he found favor with God and man. Of course, I'm sure in the bottom of that well, he probably didn't feel like much favor was on him then, but nonetheless, wherever he went, whether it was Potiphar's house or even in the cell of the prison, he found favor with God and man. God blessed him. Ultimately, Pharaoh himself gave him second in charge. It also made me think of Daniel also, how Daniel was blessed wherever he went with God's favor, even though when he was with the lions, I'm sure he wasn't feeling God's favor. Nonetheless, God saved him and gave him favor wherever he went. The good life. And Jesus himself In Luke 2:40, talks about how he grew. Jesus grew in favor with God and man. Very similar to the verses we see here. Good life. What is life? Is this it? There was a story about this one player that was in the Super Bowl, and he was very excited to achieve this amazing goal he had set for him in his life. It was the pinnacle of his career. He had waited for this day all his life, even as a young boy. And then when he got there, he got to the Super Bowl itself, and he was like, is this it? This is what I strove for and punished myself and pushed myself for? This is it? This is all there is? This is empty. You get a couple hours, and then it's done. That's what I struggled for? My whole life? What is the good life? What is it? Is this it? Do you want long life? Do you want a good life? A peaceful life? Only God's wisdom can give you life. And that wisdom is found in Christ, in Him alone. Christ is the wisdom of God that gives peace and length of life and favor. Wisdom without Christ is foolishness. The world says money, power, grades, career, possessions, all those things give us the good life. Seen that bumper sticker before? With the most toys wins. The one who dies with the most toys wins. Is that life? Those possessions will possess you and leave you empty. It's not the good life. Only Christ gives eternal wisdom, favor, success, peace. Peace that kind of blows your mind. Peace that passes all understanding. He is the good way. He is the good truth. And He is the good life. As we prepare to come before the Lord's Supper, what does He say? What does Jesus say when He comes to the table? He says, do this in remembrance of me. Do this in remembrance of me. Don't forget. Don't forget what I did for you on the cross. The good life is only found in me. The wisdom of God in Christ. When you touch and hear and smell and taste and see that He is good, what He did for you on the cross is truly the wisdom of God to save a wretch like you and me, sinners, destined to go to hell itself, saved through the blood of Christ to heaven. It's a miracle. It's incredible. May God help us not to forget His teaching, His commandments, His love, His chesed love, so that His wisdom in Christ will give you the good life and His favor both in this world and in the next. Let's pray. Lord God, as we bow before you, we recognize your amazing love, your grace and mercy, which flows from the cross, showing forth your wisdom. We would never have dreamt to save enemies the way that you have. Yet you reach down through Christ and touch hearts to bring them closer to you. Lord, we thank you for that. We praise you. We worship you for that this morning. We ask your blessing that we might honor you with the lives that you have given us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to read a portion as we prepare for the Lord's Supper.